Verse 17. See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight, and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. The one who dies at 100 will be thought of a mere child. The one who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not labor in vain, nor will they bear children doomed to misfortune. For they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, and dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Amen. I'll just pray for you, Andy, now. Father, we thank you for our pastor, Andy, and for the message you've placed on his heart. Speak through him and help his word connect with our heart. Fill him with your spirit and guide his thoughts. Let your love flow through everything he says. In Jesus' name, amen. Andy.
Well, hello to everybody, and welcome to our Advent season. We're looking at the theme of peace on earth through the season of Advent this year. Advent is these 4 weeks, 4 Sundays leading up to Christmas Day. So now you know the countdown has begun. We are actually on number one as well. Sometimes it's back in November that we begin our Advent Sundays, but this year, the 1st of December is the first Advent Sunday. So get out those Advent calendars, start your countdowns. You're on your way. But you know what? The world has begun that countdown already quite extensively. I was in Edinburgh yesterday, and oh my goodness, it was just, I can't, you know, there's a reason why the internet was invented for shopping, right? For people like me who hate shops, and no, I don't want to say hate people, but you know what I mean. I don't really relish the crowd, and I was actually trying to walk down Princes Street, and a young woman about the age of my daughter walked absolutely straight into me because I didn't get out of her way, and I was like, what? And there was no way I could step out of the way to go one way or the other. So this vision of peace that the prophet Isaiah speaks about, it's not really a vision that other people are latching onto, is it? As we were in a queue of about 250 people just to try and get into the food hall to eat our lunch yesterday as well. I mean, goodness, it was packed, let's just put it that way. And a lot of money was being spent in the city of Edinburgh. I don't know, is that in Aberdeen? I avoid it, but maybe you guys will tell me it gets as bad as that. But I'm not sure it does get quite like that. It seemed like half the world was there. There were still Spanish tourists, American tourists. The reason I know they're Spanish because they were giving them a whole explanation of Edinburgh in Spanish. Of course, there was the big thing going on for Alex Salmond as well. So yeah, it was a busy, busy place, Edinburgh yesterday. And I want to just talk about peace. Peace. And what it is about Advent, this arrival that has been awaited, the arrival that is expected, this waiting for something we know is coming. And one of the things that I think we know is coming, and I want to raise your hopes and expectations for, in the same way that when you were a child, you hoped and prayed there would be brightly wrapped gifts under the tree for you to enjoy and unwrap and then take forward into that next season. I hope one of the things that you can look forward to, and this is what I'm trying to help you see, is a vision of peace, a vision of peace that will become a reality. Now, we live in a world that is in conflict. I don't have to tell you that for you to realize it. We have national conflicts, international conflicts, Israel, Lebanon, Gaza, Ukraine, Sudan, Yemen. That's only some of the places that hit our headlines. There's lots of places that never get to our headlines where there are terrible things going on. There are political conflicts. There are personal conflicts. And we see them erupting into the news headlines as well, don't we? Family conflicts, work conflicts, neighborhood conflicts. And then maybe you feel this as well, an internal conflict in yourself. You know, we think of peace. When I say that word, peace, I think we tend to think of it, certainly I tend to think of peace as the absence of conflict. I'm so used to living in a world with conflict. I'm so used to living with conflict that I think of peace as an absence of conflict. That's not the way the Bible sees it. That's not the way the scriptures portray it to us. That's not God's vision of peace. God's vision of peace is much, much more than the absence of something. It is something. It stands for something. It is in and of itself full and wonderful. That word, Hebrew word, shalom, speaks of it, because shalom doesn't just mean peace. It means contentment, blessing, fullness, plenty. It encapsulates a lot more. This idea that we have of peace is actually very fragile, isn't it? It's uneasy. It's a bit like what's going on in the Lebanon just now. The Israelis have agreed to stop bombing Lebanon for the moment. And supposedly, the other side are supposed to not fire rockets into Israel. But will it last? Will it get beyond this week? We're not sure. And for those people that live there, it must be a very, very difficult issue. God's peace is so much more than the absence of conflict. God's peace, in fact, points to a time where there is no such thing as conflict. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a place and a time, a situation where there will be no such thing as conflict? I think we find it hard to imagine. And so Isaiah actually tells us some of the kind of things that need to happen in order for that to happen. And he says that such peace, this peace that you can't even, where there isn't such a thing as conflict, that peace requires recreation. A remaking of things. No tinkering around the edges. No fancying things up a little bit, you know, kind of putting on another layer and tidying up around the edges. No, no, no. Such peace requires recreation. This is a complete strip down and rebuild. This is you know, your classic car scenario, where we buy some old banger in a barn that has potential but is never going to be realized. We take the whole thing to pieces, every nut, bolt, and everything, and have to deal with every single thing before it all gets beautifully rebuilt and remade so that it runs again. Or to take another kind of illustration that might work for some of you. It's like that old jumper that you pull all the wool out of. And somehow or other, I don't quite know how this happens because I'm not really into it. Mo will be able to tell you much better than me. And then you somehow get that wool straightened out and all of the knots, and then you make it again into something beautiful. That's the kind of recreation. It's the same, but it's different. It's nothing like what used to be, but it is like what used to be. A new heavens and a new earth is what Isaiah says in the vision from God in verse 17. God speaks and says, "See, I will create this new heavens and a new earth." And that just means, when the Bible talks about heavens in this way, it just means the sky and the land. So the sky, I will create a new sky and a new land, a new atmosphere, a new, you know, and we're worried about the ecological breakdown of our planet and issues that it provides to the atmosphere and the issues that it provides to the earth. And God says, no, I am going to deal with that. I'm going to renew everything. This is how peace begins. Everything needs sorting. Everything needs to be put back right. So such peace requires recreation, but such peace also requires reconnection. We need, you know, when you're watching something and the connection fails, you know, like there's a reporter somehow reporting on something from far away, and suddenly it's all like, you know, that kind of, you know, and you realize, well, I'm sure it could happen to me any moment with the guys at the back. You know, the live link is down. We need, in order for there to be peace, we need a live link. We need to be on the receiving and the transmitting end to God. We need to be connected, because without that connection, we are never, never going to experience peace. God in God's own being is peace. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one, living in perfect harmony, perfect love, perfect balance and relationship with one another, such that even though God can be described as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God is one. And God invites us into his peace. God invites us into the very center of his being to join him there, to become one with him, to experience his peace. And in order to experience that, we need that live link. This is why Jerusalem gets mentioned here. I will create, verse 18, Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. Jerusalem in the scriptures has always stood for the place on earth that is the main connection between the divine and the earth. Jerusalem is the connecting point. Jerusalem is that big button that when pressed, it goes live and creates. Now, let me just say, friends, that today, as we see it, Jerusalem, the actual city on earth, is not that live link. It is not doing that. It's not acting in that way. But Jerusalem as an image in the scriptures features in that way. Jerusalem is the connecting point between God and earth, because it was the place where his presence was made present in the temple. It was a meeting point, a connection, the city of God. And such peace, this peace requires a recreation and making sure that there is always and ever a live link between heaven and earth, between God and his creation. Now, when we look at this peace and the nature of it, we see that in this peace that God sends, oh, it's amazing. I hope you caught it. It's such a beautiful, beautiful passage. If you didn't really take it in, go home and read Isaiah 65, verse 17 through to the end of the chapter, because it has got to be one of the most beautiful pictures in the whole of the scriptures. It really is a beautiful, beautiful picture. Just let me reiterate some of the points there. In verse 19, it says, I will rejoice over Jerusalem, take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard in it no more. Not just in Jerusalem, but all around this new creation. Some things are going to disappear. And let's say it, good riddance. We don't want to see them again. Weeping and crying for one of them. Look, it gets even better. Verse 20, never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days. Hey, hallelujah to that. Wonderful. Thank you, God. How much sadness and grief and pain would we lose if that would happen today? Wouldn't it be amazing? And it goes on, listen, or an old man who does not live out his years. The one who dies at 100 will be thought a mere child, and the one who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. Wow. People living their full lives in full contentment and blessing. There's more. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. So in other words, there's not going to be anything you do that isn't a rewarding thing to do. If you build your house, you get to live in it. If you plant food, you get to eat it. And I love this verse. As somebody who is passionate about fostering and adoption, I don't know if all of you are aware, but I serve on the adoption and fostering panel for Aberdeen City. It's amazing, and we have amazing people that work in this whole area, looking after around about 368 children who are in care across our city at any one time at the moment, and about 400 other children who are looked after in some other way by their kinship, or they're on their road through to adoption or in long-term fostering. But look at this in verse 23. They will not labor in vain, nor will they bear children doomed to misfortune. That's just one of the ways. But there are many, many others. They will not. This will not happen in the future. There will not be this to face in the world. And look at verse 25. And the wolf and the lamb will feed together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. Dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy. There's not going to be any more things that harm you. There's not going to be anything more that will destroy you. Wow. If only the people of Ukraine could awaken to this situation this morning. If only the people of Gaza could awaken to this situation today, wouldn't they be glad? Some things are going to disappear, and we'll be so glad that they do. And some things, though, are comfortingly familiar. They're the same, but they're really different. This is how the same is meant to be. Look, that's why it says in verse 17, I will create a new heavens and a new earth. But there's still an actual place. There's still earth. There's still a sky. There's still an atmosphere around a precious piece of life called earth. The same, but different. And even Jerusalem. Yes, deeply flawed, but remade. The connecting point between heaven and earth. And people look here at, as we look down further, it's still a place where people build houses. Except now it's not developers, it's people who get to live in them that build the houses. It's still a place where people plant, but now it's the folks that plant that get to eat what they plant. This is a place of plenty, of bliss, of comfort, of living in a beautiful, beautifully balanced situation, a situation where we're balanced with the ecology of the world as well. Oh, I love this in verse 22. Maybe you spotted it because I hope that some of you maybe get a taste of this. But look what's to come. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. You know, now we think we're very, very blessed and fortunate if just occasionally we enjoy what we do. That we can look forward to the things that we do and really get pleasure out of them. But no, in the remade heavens and earth, my chosen ones, says the Lord, will long enjoy. They will be glad in what they do. They will really enjoy everything that they put their hands to. Wow. And in verse 24, before they call, I will answer. So even it's a place where actually God is already anticipating our prayers. So before we even get to the point of prayer, God's saying, yes, and you want it. Yes, and you need it. Yes, and this is happening. What an incredible vision. Even the animals act differently in verse 25 in unexpected ways. So there's this amazing vision. But the whole of Isaiah 65 points to an issue, that a fundamental problem that Advent kind of forces us to face, actually. And it's this: God divides people. Maybe you realize that already. Maybe that's happened in your family or with your friends or in your in the kind of acquaintances that you know, that God divides people. And there are people who, just in spite of the vision, in spite of the blessing, in spite of everything that is to come, just won't listen. Look at Isaiah 65 and verse 5. It speaks there that about people who say to God, keep away from me, don't come near to me, I'm too sacred for you. People say, you know, I'm actually too good for God. I'm okay on my own, I don't need the help and assistance. And there are others whom, even though God reaches out, they're resistant to it. Look at verse 12. I called and you didn't answer. I spoke, but you didn't listen. God is speaking into our world, speaking into our lives. Are you listening? Are you responding to God's call in your life? Because those, the other side of the division, there are those who reject God, who refuse to listen, who go their own way, who says they're too good for God. And there are others who are called my people, those who seek after God. There are those who seek God's ways, seek God's purposes in their lives. Those are the people who are called my people, God says. I just love, if you read the whole of Isaiah 65, you'll see there's some beautiful, beautiful words spoken about this other group of people. Seven times it says, my servants. Three times it calls them my people. One time, my chosen people. Two times, my chosen ones. And once, at the very end of things, as we get to the summit of what God is saying, a people who are blessed by the Lord. My servants who are known by another name. My servants, says the Lord, are known by another name. Verse 16, to his servants he will give another name. What is that name that the Lord gives us? Well, I want to suggest to you guys this morning that the name that God suggests gives to us this Advent season is that it's going to be one of those Sunday school answers, you know, where the kids know that the answer to almost everything at the end of the day is going to be, well, you know it, don't you? What's it going to be? Jesus. The answer is Jesus. He gives to us another name, and that other name is the name of Jesus. Because his coming, the coming of Jesus, opens to us the pathway to peace, the highway to peace, actually, is another way that Isaiah speaks about it. In John and chapter 1 and verse 18, we're told that no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Father sends the Son that we might know the Father and experience the life of the Spirit and be invited in to that perfect trinity of relationship. God's wonderful peace. The coming of Jesus opens to us that highway to peace because it opens to us our highway to God. It gives us access to something that we can't otherwise see. And Isaiah 65, once again, I'm going to take you back before to the verses before we read from verse 10. A place called Sharon will become pasture for flocks, and the valley of Achor a resting place for herds, for my people who seek me. Who seek me. I want to finish by asking you this Advent, this season of waiting and longing and preparing for the coming. Will you seek Jesus? Will you seek him like the wise men who started a journey because they saw a star and they didn't quite know where it was going to lead them? Will you seek him like the shepherds who responded to a message that they heard from the angels but were surprised to find that the message led them to a baby in a manger? Would you seek Jesus, like people have sought Jesus from the day he came until today? Will you join that crowd of people who are looking for him, longing for him, wanting more of him? Will you seek God in Jesus this Advent? Will you also respond to him? Listen to what God says in Isaiah 65. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. Verse 1. I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call on my name, I said, here I am, here I am. God has done that to me. And I think God is doing that to you. He's saying, here I am. Here I am. I want you. Will you not respond? Will you not come to me? Accept the blessing of his peace. Remember this incredible vision. In all of the bustle, if you do visit Edinburgh, oh, just beware the pavements on Princes Street, okay? And don't even think about going around that Christmas market. I just looked at it and it was just like, oh my goodness, I'm not going down there. It was just like, That's it. There's other ways to celebrate, Krista. There's other ways to celebrate. Peace with God. We want to find peace this Christmas. We want to find peace, God's peace, the peace that comes in the person of Jesus. And that's really our theme going on through all this Advent. We're going to be talking about how we live in a world that needs peace and how this peace can be found in the person of Jesus. So I really pray that in the midst of putting up our own decorations, putting out things, plenty to do, that actually we'll find peace with God, peace with one another. Shall we pray? Let's do that. Father God, thank you for your vision of peace given through your prophet Isaiah. Help us to hang on to it through all the busyness of this season. Through all the distractions that are thrown at us, help us to remember that what you have come to give us in yourself is an invitation into your presence, into your peace. And Lord, may we this Christmas experience just even a taste of the peace of God given to us in the person of Jesus. I pray that blessing on every person here present. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's sing together in our closing song.